By 539, well, Nebuchadnezzar's dead. There's been some shifting around. There's a guy named, in the book of Daniel, they call him Belshazzar. Is it Belshazzar? Yes, because they call Daniel Belteshazzar. But Belshazzar, he's unknown. We don't really know who he is, other than he is probably a son of the king. He's running the city of Babylon. This king is a little odd. He's off doing other things. And in 539, basically, the Persians come in, along with the Medes, which were people in modern-day Iran. Whereas the Babylonians were in modern-day, yeah, between the two rivers, the Euphrates and the Tigris. The Persians, under Cyrus the Great, which is mentioned a lot in the Bible, Darius, Cambyses is not mentioned, which was his son. So, why did I bring this up? Psalm 96 is in Book 4. You're going to see when you read Psalm 93 to about 100, if you pay attention, you're going to read a psalm like not found in the rest of the Book of Psalms. And there's a good reason. Most nations consider their God the God of their nation, of their people. And the God of their nation was powerful, and sometimes he was the most powerful. If he defeated your army, he was bigger than your God. The Jewish people, after Babylon, obviously they were scattered. Cyrus comes in 536. He allows, if I can spell it, Cyrus, and by the way, in Hebrew, for all of you that have ears to hear, there was a guy, a crazy person in Texas that named himself after the Hebrew word for Cyrus, named David Koresh. He chose that name on purpose. But Cyrus was very good to the Jewish people. He allowed them to go back and start rebuilding the temple. Now, there's a whole mess that happens after that, and a lot of it has to do with the whole Persian Empire. The Persian Empire was big. They were having problems with the Egyptians for a while. So there's a lot of back and forth before this finally gets rebuilt in 516. But at that time, there's only a small group. We say, now, let's get back to the point of this. Where was Nehemiah at? He was not in Babylon. He was way around the bend. Babylon is between the Tigris and the Euphrates. He's way around the bend over here in Susa, which is in part of modern-day Iran. The Jewish people, most of them, did not go back. And we have physical records, by names anyhow. There's ways you can tell if it was a Jewish name. And this empire went all the way to India, certainly in modern-day Pakistan. It went north into Afghanistan, which was Bactria at that time, or who knows what they called it. And it goes way up, even into modern-day Russia. The Persian Empire was massive. And here's the emphasis of the story. Who is your God when you're no longer in your little country? Do you just accept the gods of those foreign countries? Kind of like, well, you know, Yahweh was a good God in this. And see, it's hard to get perspective. Israel is as big as your finger. So when you read the Bible, you think they're the greatest civilization in history. When you look at other nations, they're a nothing except God and truth. And now you have people, Jewish people, all in, tons of them in Susa, but in the Persian Empire, you have them up in Bactria, you have them up into Russia, you have them north of the Black Sea, you have them in between the Black and the Caspian Sea. You say, I never heard of any of these places. Persian Empire was the biggest empire in history. Probably bigger than any empire. Outside, one or two would be comparable. My point, and this is just in the east. So all those stand countries you've heard of, Kazakhstan, which I think there was a wreck there, a plane wreck, Kyrgyzstan, all of those places were up in here, and guess who ran them? The Persians. So who is your God when you're there? Well, I think the Psalms in Book 4 answers that. Let's stand. Now, none of these tell us exactly who wrote them or when they were written. Starting in 93, you'll see there's no title. There's no title in 94, none in 95. 96, 97, 98 has a psalm. 99. Those are psalms that talk about God reigning, the God of the Bible. Otherwise, the God of the Bible is not the God of a little piece of land. He's the God that ordained all things and created all things. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all what? See, we're not just talking about little Judah now, little Israel. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. To declare his glory among the goyim. Heathen is a terrible word because it has a connotation of, you know, it's... But goyim has the same connotation. If someone calls you goy, that's probably not a compliment. It could be. We are other peoples, but can also, look up here, folks, you can also be, you know, you're one of those people. So, but here the psalmist says, declare his glory where? In the temple? Freedom of worship? No. Among the peoples. His wonders, different word, among all people. Probably the word am. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say unto the, again, the nations that the Lord, what? So I got a question. Was God sovereign or did he become sovereign at a particular point or is he always sovereign? We're to be saying that among the peoples. The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. I will say this to you. That is not the God of your back pocket that you have on the dashboard that you rub his head for good luck. This is the God of the universe. And hear me. When you get to book 4, we're way past the time when Israel was anything. They're either in captivity or a handful of them have come back. And how big are they? Some of you have been there. Ade, you've been there. Big country, right? I mean, you know, I think I've heard the Benjamin Netanyahu say, you know, you can fly over Israel in like 1 minute or something. I mean, this isn't like a super, you know, big kingdom. But who's God? Well, I think you have a good idea. This is not the only one. 93 to 99 are that way. God is the God that created, the God that redeems, and the God that will judge all peoples. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Bless our time together, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you have in your hands the summary of the Psalms. We've covered most of this, so most of this we won't talk about. And I am going to need, let's see here, can I get some volunteers? Tim DeRam, are you going to volunteer this morning? It's not bad, I promise. Dave, you've been volunteered. Don't open it yet. Ade, you like ube. Don't open it yet. I got to get two other people who are, oh, Sam, you have been elected. You know what it is. Who else? You were chosen before the foundation of the world. Don't open them yet, guys. Don't open them yet. I saw a couple of you eating donuts. I personally don't eat donuts almost ever for two reasons. First reason is, do I need a donut? That's the first reason. And the answer would be, Number two, they give me a headache because there's nothing. My son quit eating donuts when he worked at Krispy Kreme. He said, once you made them, he says, you never want to eat them. They're just sugar. The third reason is, goes back to the first reason, I don't need them. No, actually, it goes back to what we're going to talk about. I wish you could see yourself eating a donut. You get a whole donut over there, and how many bites does it take you to eat that? You ought to see yourself. Now, this is not a negative, folks. This is the way. Have you ever thought about how you eat? I needed to bring everybody and let you eat with my mother. I learned the worst habit I learned in the Navy. I learned many good things in the Navy, but eating was not one of them. You learn how to eat improper, right, guys? Fast as you can. I won't tell that story. Taste it later, yeah. All right, let's go over some basics of the Psalms, and then we will finish this up today with talking about, and I didn't bring any double-stuffed Oreos. We've been talking about this for a while, but remember, the Psalms are poetry. And it is a form of poetry. Proverbs is poetry. A lot of the prophets are also poetic. And as we'll see when we get to Matthew 5, 6, and 7, a lot of poetry there too. I say this is what makes the Psalms the Psalms. It's poetry. So you're going to have to read it somewhat differently than you do other things. Number two, the Psalms are biblical or Hebrew poetry from the ancient Near East. I'm not going to discuss any of that. I say in your notes, the form is the meaning. If you write this on the board, this little statement, you automatically know that's a certain kind of literature, correct? We do. I remember studying, and I still study it, hermeneutics, which is how to read and how to read the Bible, and it sounds so impressive, but you do it every day of your life, and you just don't know you do it. The problem is you don't always do it when you read the Bible. Sometimes you do it for everything else. So if you read the cartoons, they're what? Cartoons. If you read the front page, I hope you don't read a newspaper, but if you do, if you read the front page of a newspaper and you read the editorial page of the newspaper, if it's the New York Times, they're the same as the funny page. But they're not supposed to be. There was supposed to be a big difference. Used to be. Well, they are identical today. I can't find anybody that writes differently. And actually, that is, well, that's another story. Everybody understand, you read the Bible different. So when you come to Psalms, don't read it like you do the book of Romans. It's written different, has different purposes, different ideas. I said this also, the Psalms are image rich. It's one way of saying it, image rich or image saturated. They're primarily images, lots of images. We use them also. We probably wouldn't know we're using them. My father, I don't know if it's rural, I don't know if it's country, I don't know what it is, but people where I'm from in rural areas use a lot more images. And I'm not sure, they, you know, don't know the bigger words, I don't know. But images are very common. Number four, the Psalms incorporate or use images from human experience. But specifically human experience from the ancient Near East. You probably won't find any images of cornfields. You know, people come to America and they come to this area. My niece, my older sister's, not a niece, older sister's daughter's daughter. Is that a niece? Whatever. She has a friend that came to America from Italy to see America. And she's in a little town in the middle of cornfields. And my niece said to, when we were down there, she said, but she has visited Indiana. I'm like, more cornfields. By the way, is cornfield, it's not big to you because you don't live in a cornfield. You understand, this is images from life. What are your images? That's what you're going to get in the scripture, and you're going to get tons of them. So in Psalm 23, you're going to talk about a shepherd. You know, in order for you to understand Psalm 23, you immediately got to get your head in the game of what a shepherd is, what he did. And is there a difference, I'm asking a question, between a shepherd from Scotland or a shepherd from New Zealand, where there's way more sheep than there are humans? Does what a shepherd do there different than a shepherd from the Middle East? And the answer is there's no comparison. Shepherds use sheepdog to corral. We've seen them in Scotland. It's beautiful. You'll see these dogs, they don't hurt the sheep, but they corral them and they drive them in the Middle East. Remember John 10? Jesus using his voice to call them out. They're following him. There's no comparison between the way they rear sheep in Scotland and the way they did it in the ancient Near East. I don't know what they do today. All right. Number five. Here's where we stop. The poetry and the images, boy, this is shocking, take time. I haven't found any way around just taking the time to think. That's the reason you spend time meditating, thinking. I'll give you all these bullet points real quickly. I've already said it, really. Well, let me give you this statement first. I say the beauty of a great song, and remember the Psalms are songs, is that you really can't get all the song is saying after one single listening, after listening to it one single time. Actually, if you can understand a song by listening to it one time, it's not much of a song. There's not much there. You wouldn't pay attention to it. It would be like the deep theology of Britney Spears and Justin Bieber. And all you have to do, you think, did people really listen to that music? But by the way, 5 minutes after it's gone, everybody's glad it's gone because there's nothing there. Baby, baby. I actually heard a clip. Thank you. I heard a clip of Britney Spears, no joke. Somebody had taken all of her music and excerpted how many times she said baby. It was like 5 minutes. Baby, baby, and they just clipped them together. It was hilarious. Deep, deep stuff, folks. So if you can listen to a song and get everything the first go around, you probably shouldn't be listening to the song. And I don't think it's going to be classic. What do you think? Somewhere I drove recently, I was listening to the Brandenburg Concertos by Bach. Now, folks, I am an unsophisticated, uneducated person about music. I could listen to that every day for the rest of my life. There's something there to understand and experience a little deeper than baby, 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 baby. All right, we'll move on from that. The Psalms take time. The Psalms take thought. The Psalms take something that very few of us, maybe none of us in this room, have much of. If you want to grow in this area, I can give you the only one source that I know that can help you. Read C.S. Lewis. If you read C.S. Lewis, you're going to quickly find out that you do not have this, and this is not a criticism of you. I said me too. Psalms take a sanctified imagination or good sensibilities. You read a guy like C.S. Lewis on the subject of beauty, and you'll start wondering, have I ever even thought about anything that's beautiful? My life is pretty boring. Do you understand? I'm a pretty boring person. I'm waiting for the next donut. Next, Psalms take imagining, the verb, actually doing it. Now, what is the difference between, if you want to cross out Oreo double stuffed cookie and think about the donut you had this morning? So please do not get offended too deeply. If you took a donut, and I saw a couple of you doing it, and you ate half of that donut in the first bite, I guarantee you, almost none of us would spend over 4 or 5 bites on a donut. That is American consumerism. It's who we are. What is the difference between that and polveron? Okay, guys, open your polveron. Now, Dave, here's the difference between me and mean people like, and guys like him. He'd have you put three in your mouth. Now, does everybody know the secret of this? Sam, you know the secret? The secret of Paul Verone, Tim, you didn't wait. Yeah, but you're already eating. The secret of Paul Verone, listen, is really simple. You take a very small nibble. You don't chew it. You put it in the roof of your mouth and do what? So take just a little nibble, put it in the roof of your mouth and do nothing else. Has a nice taste. Ade, you don't like ube. Ade, I'm sorry, I love ube. Give it to Linda. Let her have some ube. Put it in the roof of your mouth. Cream milk and skim milk and what else? Sugar. Now, folks, here's the problem that Americans have with Pulverone. Most of them will take if I don't tell you, you put the whole thing in your mouth. Your second response is you spit the whole thing out. But inevitably, an American's going to eat at least half of that the first bite. And they're going to try to chew it up because they're used to eating donuts. Pulverone, hear me, tells you how to read the Book of Psalms. The Book of Psalms, you put it in your mouth, and you do what? Suck on it, it's even better. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, and Ade, I'm sorry about ube. I love ube, so I don't know if this is bad ube or Cliffy put something in the ube. you need to have some hollow hollow with ube ice cream, okay? Trust me. Ooh. All right. Dave, what do you think? It is good, but not if you try to stuff it in your mouth and eat it. Then it makes your mouth very, very dry. No. All right. Let's go to number six. I was nice to you, Dave. I could have done what... You have to understand, how did I learn this, Dave? Manon Nelson Flores gave me a whole piece, of course. Put that in your mouth. And it gets drier the longer it's in there when you have that big hunk. All right, number six. Oh, by the way, I don't want to be mean to anybody, though. Everything I say now seems to be mean. Let's get down to where the rubber meets the road. Do you understand if you don't do this with the Psalms, you have wasted a lot of your time? You cannot read the Psalms without the meditation part, without savoring. I say this to tell the story. It's not any big, deep story because I'm guessing everybody in here happened to them was in the military. First day in boot camp, Company 526. How do you ever forget it? Got in line for chow hall. And by the way, they call it the chow hall. You know you got a problem right up front. Chow hall. Got in line, started, and my name starts with a W, the last name. So that means I'm at the end of the line. Pretty much. There was a guy or two behind me. All the guys walked through, 75 or so. I don't know, 75, 80. We walked through, and when I get at the beginning of that line, I look at the food. Nothing looks good. I must have pointed to a couple of things, and the company commander, Rogers, said, 526, line up. He did that every day for the first week or so. So what did you learn to do? You ate as you're moving through the line. That was the worst habit I ever picked up. Now, I understand in the military, you know, if you're in the war, let's take a break here. I need a lunch break. You know, I get it. But the problem is, once you learn to eat like that, it's hard to learn to read the Bible any other way than I got three chapters to read. Check, check, check. No, it's Pulverone. You put it in your mouth, you suck on it. And by the way, number six cannot be done without number five. You understand? So number six is the Psalms are meant to be experienced. And you can experience them if you're not taking the time to suck on them, so to speak. All right? Lots of experiences. We've already covered most of this. Can I ask something? Wouldn't it be nice if we all took Psalm 96 this week and spent the whole week reading it over and over? To learn who God, hey, look at me. To learn who God is, not when you're in church, but when you're out there. And what we're supposed to be telling folks out there, not in here. Because really, declare his glory among the nations. That's where the action is. Now, I want to ask a question before going. Is it possible to break those old habits? You're sweet. You're so sweet. I tell you what, you must have sugar in that thing and honey. Is it easy? Every time I go out to eat with my mother, I'm reminded that I sometimes can eat without tasting my food. Because she is the slowest eater I ever met in my life. And she'll look at me and she says, but Ralph, I chew up every bite. And I do too. Half a chew, straight down the pipe. All right, let's do some concluding thoughts and we'll be done today. I would encourage you to, first of all, this is really heavy stuff, folks, read the Psalms. Secondly, and this is not real heavy either, at the bottom there, read the whole psalm. I have done intentionally every single time I've stood here for the last 3 months, and I have not mentioned it because I wanted to see if any of you caught it. We have not read any portions of Psalms. The Psalms are not your playground to find your favorite verses. They remind me of what I learned how not to do ever as a pastor in Bible college, which was first and third verse, peppy, peppy, peppy when we're singing. How do you do that with a Charles Wesley or an Isaac Watts song? There's a reason there's four or five verses there. They're communicating a message. I have read whole Psalms every time. Now, I got almost booted out of Bible college for doing this. So if you think you're going to push me around on this one, you never will. And I got fired from my first pastorate, or assistant pastorate, because of reading the whole psalm. And we read it last week, Psalm 12. And I never said a single word. But back in about 84, we started hearing the foolishness of the preserved word of God. By the way, no one ever heard of it before that. And I can still remember, one morning I'm there with my Bible. You ever read it? And I'm reading the Bible by myself before class starts, and I realize what I had heard in chapel was exactly the opposite of what Psalm 12 teaches. Then I did the unthinkable. Because see, I'm a pit bull sometimes, to my detriment occasionally. I went up to the library and checked out every commentary they had on the Psalms from the 1500s to the modern day, which in that college was about 8. And every one of them said what I had read when I read Psalm 12, which the Bible promises to preserve God's people. It's not talking about preserving the King James Bible. So I almost got booted out of Bible college, and I got called in before the big guy. You know the big guy. And I told the big guy what I'm going to tell you right now. When I came here, you believed this, and now you believe this. You have changed. Now, he didn't boot me out only for one reason. I'm not particularly a troublemaker, but I'm not a liar or I'm not stupid either. When I was assistant pastor, I got the boot over the same issue, not even knowing it. So, you all get the drift? Read the Psalms. Don't play games with the Psalms for your favorite little verses that you quote to yourself out of context. Who cares? The Psalms are meant to be read as a psalm. Memorized as psalms. Meditate, with few exceptions. I'll give you exceptions. probably you don't have to read Psalm 119 in one setting, because it is actually not connected. Do you understand? It's only connected by theme, the Word of God. But it's not connected in the... You can read Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Daleth, Het. You can go through the different consonants, but you don't have to read it all by itself. Some psalms, you have to read by them. Psalm 73, how do you read Psalm 73, just pieces of it? It's meant to start in a place, fall off the edge of the world, and come back around to a higher place. It has a purpose, and it's not to quote cute verses. Let's look at Psalm 142, would you please? If you've been around church for 15 minutes, hopefully no one's ever done it here in the last 24 plus years, you're going to hear this, and it's an abomination, but it's the way preaching used to be done. Psalm 142. We're going to actually do the unthinkable, which is read the whole thing. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make known my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily or privately, secretly laid a snare for me. Verse 4 has been pulled out of context. I even read a whole book on this one time. I won't say who. I looked on my right hand and beheld there was no man that would know me. Refuge fail me. No man cared for my soul. And that was the title of the sermon. No man cared for my soul. By the way, folks, could that be possibly true? Yes. Should you care about other people? Let's ask you. Should you care about other people? How about their salvation? Should that interest you? Is this what this is talking about? Verse 5. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my what? And no matter who you are, sooner or later, you'll get to a place where no one can be with you but God himself. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't be a refuge and a help to many, many people. But this is talking about, in the final analysis, you only have God. He's your ultimate refuge. Yes or no? But boy, it makes good preaching. And when people don't read the Bible, it makes even better preaching. Guilt fest alive. You can hear the guilt. Now, I'll let you read the rest of it. Let's go back to the final concluding thoughts, please. So, read the Psalms. Read the whole Psalm. Read the Psalm as a Psalm. Read the Psalm as a Psalm. Have you ever heard a great piece of music that took you someplace? Wow. We were in a restaurant. What day was it? Monday? Tuesday. We went to Arthur, Illinois. I went there I was thinking of fasting that day. And Arthur and Arcola, Illinois are Amish area. So you knew that, Mike. You've been there. Fast. Oh, I ate fast. So we went to this restaurant, and my mother's there, and all of a sudden I hear Canon and D, Paco Bell. In a restaurant? What's wrong with these people? I was expecting, you know, baby, baby, baby. All right, I'm just going to finish these. One person said this, what happens when you don't have words? They said this, that's when the music begins. And I would say this, the reason you read the Psalms as a psalm is that's where the meaning is in the poetry, the imagery, the art, the symbol, and in some cases, the music. Next, and if you don't like this, you don't have to. These are just Pastor Warren's recommendations. So if you don't like this, don't do it. Read the Psalms in different translations. I highly recommend that. Next, read the Psalms at different speeds. There is a nice thing about reading the Psalm, sitting down and reading Psalm 142 and just zoom. There's also a time to read Psalm 142 and meditate on each line. Speeds will help you, folks. You don't always have to do Come on, you know, if you're super busy, you don't have time for 4 hours of meditation on Psalm 23. There's a time for meditation, there's a time just to read, and then there's the in-between. Read things at different speeds. Sometimes it's okay just to go to a place and do it quickly. I remember going to a place in Mexico, Calakmul, one of the greatest Maya ruined areas, one of the largest cities. Takes you forever to get there. We'd already been there 3 or 4 times. I did not go see every building the last time we were there. I went to see the most important buildings. You say, why? I'd already traveled back in the jungle, got hit by thorns, mosquitoes, and every other thing known to mankind. I didn't need that. I just wanted to go to the big places. Can I tell you this? Sometimes it's nice to read quickly. Sometimes it's nice to read slowly. Sometimes it's nice to do what? With the polverone. All right. Next, read the Psalms at different places and times. I'm assuming everybody knows that you can read the same thing one morning and read it the next morning or a year later. It's weird how time and place changes things. We are humans. So what I would recommend is you have several times and places. Say it again. Times and places. Not with your feet up. Not with your, you know, not with your 3 donuts that you're going to stuff in your face. Have 3 or 4 places. Could be in your car. Could be in the bathroom. Could be on a walk. My mother-in-law has a whole Bible on a little electronic device. It's actually kind of nice. I was thinking to see if I could find one that I could, I don't have earplugs, but I'm going to buy those because I like to, you know, I want to put them in my ears so they stick down and everybody wonders what I'm listening to. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Do you? All right, lastly, don't just read the Psalms. Experience the Psalms. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Bless our time together. In Christ's name, amen.